Good evening. Let's start our meeting this evening by singing number one. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. I'm wondering as I look around this room tonight, if you are almost persuaded. You've heard the gospel many times. You'll hear it again tonight, Lord willing. Have you believed, or are you almost persuaded? Let's sing number one. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 25, and I'd like to talk about the story of the 10 virgins and the 5 foolish, the 5 wise, and I'd like to compare it to each one of us here tonight. It may be a little difficult at first to understand what we're talking about, but because we're going to go with a lot of symbolism in this story, because there's a lot of things in this story that have a meaning, and we're going to show these meanings in the gospel this evening. And so Matthew chapter 25 verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Maybe you know what symbolism is. when you have two hockey teams in the Olympics, you have two teams playing. You have Canada and the U.S. And as they're playing, you know which team is which by the symbols that they have on their uniforms. And you can say, there goes Canada. There goes USA. Go USA. And so you're rooting for the country. I don't know if the Canadians might not say that, but but that's a symbol. That's not USA. That's a hockey team. But we don't say, go hockey team. We say, go USA. And so it's a symbol. And we understand a symbol like that. And so I hope you can understand as we go through this story and talk about some of these things as symbols. And in verse, we'll go through each verse. Verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I like to look at the kingdom of heaven as being like the country of Christianity. And everybody here in this room tonight is in the country of Christianity because you're here. We're having a Bible meeting. This is a Christian function, and you're here. So you're in the sphere of Christianity. And so the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins are all the people in the country of Christianity. And so each one of you is represented in these virgins. And you live a life as virgins. They would live a life of purity. They'd be good living people. And like you, they go to Bible meetings. Maybe they're churchgoers. It's not just the people in this room, but everybody who identifies in some way with Christianity is in the country of Christianity. Well, these 10 virgins, they took their lamps and went forth. The lamps, we're going to look at the lamps as you having a Christian background. And you know the right words to say. You know the right actions to take. You have your lamps. You're carrying a lamp. And it says they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. The bride is not all the 10 virgins. The bride are the true believers. And so as I look at each one and every one of you here tonight, I don't know if you're saved or not. I can look into your eyes. Some people say the eyes are the windows of the soul. And you can look at a person. And sometimes you can know what they're thinking. But I can look at you. And I don't really know what I'm looking at. Some of you I know the Lord as your Savior. Others, perhaps, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You're maybe one of the foolish virgins that we're reading about. But Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, was coming. Verse 2. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. The wise, they were the ones who were saved. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They had accepted that they were a sinner and they needed to be saved. And they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then the five foolish, they were around Christians a lot. They learned how to act like Christians. And they even say they are Christians. Maybe you, when you are asked, you say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I used to do that. My dad asked me, oh, are you saved? Oh, yes. Mr. Barry, some of you knew him. Are you saved? I'd say yes, because I didn't want to hear what he had to say. I was almost persuaded. And perhaps you are that way tonight. You're almost persuaded. You never got serious with God. The wise, they knew they were sinners. And they repented. And they believed. And they were saved. Now the five foolish, they thought they weren't that bad. But they were lost in their self-righteousness. Just like you, they were raised in a Christian family. And they went to a Christian place of worship, just like you. And people call you a Christian. When I was in school, in grade school. I wasn't saved yet, but everybody knew I belonged to the Christian family. And they'd do a lot of things to persecute. I won't go into all of those. But people call you a Christian, and you get treated like a Christian sometimes. But what's in your heart? What's in your soul? You're a sinner, and you ignore your need of salvation. You ignore your need of Jesus Christ. It may be that your friends and the music and the pleasures of this world, maybe they're more important to you. And the world has sunk its ugly teeth into you, just like a snapping turtle, and it won't let go. It's got a hold on you. But why are you so interested in the things of this world? The world has nothing eternal to offer you. The world will satisfy you for the here and the now. But what about tomorrow? What are you going to do about tomorrow? When you get too tired, the world doesn't want to help you. Or you're too sick, or you're too injured, or when you die, what will the world do for you then? Look at verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took oil with them, and took no oil with them. So the foolish, they took their lamps. With their lamps, they looked like a Christian. You are here tonight. You have a lamp. Whether you're saved or not, you have a lamp. And you look like a Christian. Well, the foolish, they took their lamps. Well, maybe you haven't done anything terribly bad. You've done a lot of good works. You depend on your Christian parents. You pretend to live a Christian life. But you're like the foolish ones. You have no oil. The oil is like the Spirit of God. And you do not have the Spirit of God. Just like these five virgins, the foolish virgins, they took no oil with them. They were foolish. They were not saved. Verse 4. We're in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, the wise are the believers. They're not trusting their own abilities. They're not trusting that they have a family environment, a Christian environment in their family. The wise are not trusting their good works to get to heaven. They knew they had the Spirit of God. They knew they had eternal life. And they were happy about that. And so they took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps. They were true believers. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They had the oil in their lamps. They had the Spirit of God. And so their lamps could shine with the light of God. The Lord Jesus could say to you and I, you are the lights of the world. Every one of you who knows the Lord Jesus as your Savior is a light. Every one of you, whether you know the Lord as your Savior or not, you have a lamp. And so in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept. They all slumbered and slept. And so the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come one day, and the church are the wise virgins. The church is the bride of Christ, and the groom, Jesus Christ, is going to come to take us to be with him in heaven. But it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Well, why is the Lord Jesus waiting so long to come? We can see a lot of the difficulties that Christians have, and so many people have been murdered and martyred because of the name of Jesus Christ in recent years. And it's more and more killed every day because of their love for the person and the name of the Lord Jesus. Why doesn't Jesus come? Why is he tarrying so long? Well, the Lord Jesus is not willing that any should perish. You are here tonight. That is why Jesus has not come. Because you are here and He loves you. He doesn't want to send you to a lost eternity in hell. He knows you were raised in a Christian family. He knows that you know that you need Jesus Christ. Well, and He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He wants you to be saved. Well, it says, they all slumbered and slept. Well, this is both the wise and the foolish. They were all slumbering. They were all sleeping. They forgot Jesus was coming. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, He's waiting. He's waiting, not willing that any should perish. But everybody else is sleeping because they're not expecting Him to come anytime soon. Well, what caused that? Well, back in history, the Christians thought that God had replaced Israel with the church. And they thought that the church would get Israel's blessings here on earth. And so that's why sometimes you listen on the radio or you hear about in the newspapers, in the news, you hear about prosperity gospels. And they're teaching people that if they get saved and they give money to the church, that you will enjoy success in this world and you'll have nothing to worry about. And you can be healed from anything. And they thought that the church was going to inherit the earth. And for the kingdom, they thought they were going to inherit the earth for the kingdom. And the wise Christians, they were ready. They were ready. They were a little bit mixed up about their blessings of Israel and the church, but they were ready for Jesus to come. But they thought that this world was their home, and they forgot that Jesus is coming. The foolish, they were not ready for Jesus to come. They were not ready for the bridegroom to come. The wise were ready, the foolish were not ready. But they both, the wise and the foolish fakes, they forgot that Jesus is coming to take the church to heaven to be with Himself. He's going to take us to heavenly places. And the church forgot that. And so back in verse 6, Matthew 25, verse 6, it says, at midnight a cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. And so at midnight, we are at midnight right now. We are in the last days, just before the bridegroom comes, just before Jesus Christ comes to take the believers to heaven. It is almost midnight, and the cry went out. So in the last days, the Christians, it started some years ago, but in the last days, Christians remembered. They started reading their Bibles. They started to find out what God really had meant for them in the Word of God. Instead of listening to the priests tell them what the Bible meant, they started reading the Bible for themselves, and they started to understand the ways of God. And in the last days, the Christians at midnight, they remembered that the hope of Jesus coming as the groom, coming for the bride, the church, they realized that Jesus is going to come any time from now. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. And we'll read a couple of verses that talk to us about the coming of the Lord Jesus for you and I, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, that is the church, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, one day the Lord's going to come down. He's going to come down from heaven with a shout. There's going to be three things that we'll know that it's Jesus coming for us. He's going to shout. And then there's going to be the voice of the archangel. And then the trumpet of God is going to sound. And then the dead the believers who have died and are buried or wherever they may be, they will rise from the dead. And then together, those who have risen from the dead and the church who is living here on earth, we will all go up to be with Christ in heaven. We're going to meet him in the air. He's not going to come back down to the earth at that time. We're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. We're going to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will never be separated from him again. This is our hope, which we have. And this hope of his coming will happen any time from now. Jesus is coming for his own people. And we will go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. Though he is the one who loves you. He is the one who gave himself for you. He's coming. He's coming very soon. And we look forward to that day. It's going to be an exciting day when Jesus calls us. He shouts for you to come. And so the blessings of the church are not here on earth. Our blessings are from heaven. Let's go to verse 7 of Matthew 25. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They all rose up, but only five of these people had hope. Only five of them had assurance of their salvation. Only five of them knew that they were going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish five, they knew about God. They knew about sin. They knew about salvation. And so they started to trim their lamps too. They tried to make their lamps look nice. And they tried to look like Christians. But they had no assurance of salvation. They did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, they thought about it. They thought maybe about sin and salvation and hell and their need of a Savior. They thought about it. And you might say that they were forced to think about it because they were raised in a Christian home. And their parents read the Bible in the home. Sounds like you, doesn't it? Their parents took them to Sunday school. They went to gospel meetings. And like you, here you are. You're today. You're at the gospel meeting. You're at the Bible conference. You pray. Your parents taught you how to pray. You learned the memory verses. You know how to live like a Christian. You are almost persuaded. But you haven't put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Let's go to verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Well, they wanted the wise people to give them some of their oil. The wise, they were ready. And they wanted the wise to give them the Spirit of God. The oil. They wanted the Spirit, but the foolish, they wanted the oil to light their lamps. They tried to live like a Christian. They tried to live as if they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't. They had no Spirit of God to let the light of salvation shine in their hearts. They were all just going through the motions, just like you are. You go through the motions. You know what your mom and dad tell you how to live like a Christian, so you do what they tell you because you don't want to hear them tell you again and again you need to be saved, and so you pretend to be a Christian. And then when you go to meeting, to the Bible meetings, you try to act like a Christian. You try to act like everybody else because you don't want people coming and talking to you. Oh, I remember Mr. Berry again. He said, he used to come to me and say, you look so sad. Are you saved? And he'd challenge me all the time until one day, during a meeting that he had, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Are you saved? Are you saved tonight? When you are saved, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit and you have eternal life, you won't need to try to live like a Christian. Because you will be one. You will be a Christian. You will have fire in your lamp. And your lamp will be burning. That's how we can tell if you are saved or not. Because your light is burning. If your light is out, that means you don't have the Spirit of God. It means you don't have eternal life. And so, when you are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is your guarantee that you are going to heaven. Well, the foolish pretenders, the fake Christians, they won't receive the Holy Spirit. They'll receive the fire. You will be baptized in the fires of hell, the lake of fire. And in verse 8, the foolish said, "Give us oil, for our lamps are gone out." Well, the foolish never had the oil. They never had the Spirit of God. And if you are here tonight without the Spirit of God, it will become more and more difficult for you to continue trying to live like a Christian. It's going to be easy for you to ignore the gospel. You'll sit at the back of the room and you'll be whispering to your friends. Because you really don't care if they are saved or not. You don't care about yourself. And the more you turn away from the gospel, the harder it's going to be for you to continue trying to live like a Christian. You can't pretend to be a light in the dark with the lights on, with other believers around. It's easy to hide and look like a lamp. And if you're carrying a flashlight, it's off. But you're carrying it, but the lights are on. You don't need your flashlight. Everybody thinks, oh, your flashlight works. He's ready for the dark. But when the dark comes and your light doesn't go on, you're still in the dark. And so you might look like you're a lamp for Jesus. But when you get into a room without light, you are lost in the darkness. And as you are, and you yourself, you'll be as dark as the world because you have no oil in your lamp. You're like Judas. Judas. He tried to be a Christian. He followed the Lord. I asked some people, how do you get saved? Oh, you follow the Lord. That doesn't really work so good. Judas was a disciple who followed the Lord. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He did miracles. He invited the Lord Jesus to come to his home. His father did, Simon. They entertained the Lord in their home. They trusted Judas, and they gave him the money bag to be the treasurer. But Judas was a fake, like you. Tonight, Judas is in hell. If your Christianity depends on you doing good works, your Christianity will not last. Judas tried to be a Christian, but he could not endure. And so, if you are trying to be a Christian, if you are pretending just to satisfy your parents or to satisfy other Christians, you won't be able to endure either. You will go to be with Judas. I'm going to go to be with Jesus, but you are going to go to be with Judas in hell. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so." They're not going to give their oil to the foolish. They said, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And so the wise believers refused to give oil to the fake Christians. You need to know this. You need to know something, that it is impossible for your Christian friends to give you the Holy Spirit of God. Your parents can't give you the Spirit of God. They can't save you. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that will cleanse you from your sin. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Jesus is the only one through whom You can get eternal life and receive the Spirit of God. Well, the foolish are still trying to get to heaven. They try hard to be saved. They're doing something to get salvation. They're going. They went to buy oil. They're doing. Maybe you think you are doing enough to get to heaven. You might say, look at me. I obey my mom. I go to the Bible meetings. I do what I'm told. I don't cheat. At least you don't get caught. You're trying to buy your way into heaven, but without a commitment. Without putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Those who were ready went in to meet the bridegroom. They went to be with the Lord Jesus. I ask you tonight, are you ready? The Lord Jesus is coming. The trumpet will sound. The Lord Jesus will come. He will shout, come! He can't wait for that moment. He's excited about it, probably more than you and I are. He's waiting for that moment where he can call to you and say, come to be with me in heaven. And he'll say, enter into the joy of your Lord. And then the door was shut. No one else can come into heaven after the Lord Jesus comes. It's too late. It's too late. Look at verse 11. After the Lord Jesus came, it says, afterward also came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But it was too late. The door was shut. What about you tonight? What is going to happen when you are too late? I think you would have a feeling and a sense of shame and embarrassment because you know that you rejected Jesus Christ. And you will have a sense of desperation in your soul. And there will be hopelessness. And there will be fear in your soul. Because you know you are hellbound. If Jesus came this very evening, everybody in this room would go to heaven to be with Jesus. Except for you. And a few others. And you would be sitting here looking across the room at those other friends who also got left behind. And they could ask you, where did everybody go? And you might say, it's true what Mr. Roach was saying. He was telling us that Jesus was coming and Jesus came. They all went to heaven. And we all got left behind. We got left behind because we did not believe. And your friends might ask you, well, where will we go? And you'll have to answer them. We are going to hell. And then you will think, how will I get home? Where is home now? Home is where the family is. But you have no family. Your family went to heaven. And you'll become angry. And you'll be afraid because there is no hope. And to appease your fear and your despair and to make you feel better about yourself, you'll start believing lies about what happened when Jesus left you behind. You will think, well, oh good, this isn't so bad. Now my parents, they can't tell me what to do. I can take their car. I can be a free person. Nobody can tell me to turn my music down now. No one will give me a guilt trip for not practicing abstinence. You might believe that homosexuality is okay. And you'll believe that you were born that way. You'll believe everything that they start teaching you in the government schools. And you'll believe in global warming. You'll believe in a one-world government. You'll believe in evolution. You'll believe that you were used to be a monkey. And you'll believe there is no God. Some of you play violent video games. These will turn into a reality show. And you'll begin to kill real people. And real people will come to kill you. And there will be chaos in this world. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is not going to be here to protect you. Up to now, the Holy Spirit is protecting you. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to go to hell. And so up to now, the Holy Spirit is protecting you so you can hear the gospel message again. He wants you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's not willing that any should perish. And so the gospel is being preached to you tonight, and you are permitted to be here. But in that day, the Spirit of God will not be protecting you and other people. The Spirit of God will not protect you from other people doing all the evil that they want to do. Then there's radical groups like the Boko Haram in Nigeria. They will start coming tonight to America. And then there's ISIS and ISIL, who the ones who kill the Christians over there in Iraq and in Syria. And they cut the heads off of the children. And those people will still be wanting to kill you because you represent the Western world, which they hate. But they'll also come to kill you because they want to. There's going to be war and fighting and terror. It will be everywhere in this world after the Lord Jesus comes to take us to be with Himself. And people will not need an excuse to riot and vandalize like they're doing in Ferguson and in other cities across the country, even right now. And that hatred and that violence is always in the heart of man. This is all part of God's judgment on this sin-sick world. And you will be afraid, because you know that deep in your heart that this is the beginning of the end. Because very soon you will be going to hell. Along about that time, there's going to be a change in the world government, and the beast will be manifested as a man of peace, and he will likely be the one to head the one world government. And this is what so many nations today desire, to have one world government. That's why there's so much changing in the governments of the world today. And when the beast rises up and takes power, will bring peace and safety to the world for a short time. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, God will send you a strong delusion that you should believe a lie. You'll believe the beast. You will trust him. Later the false Messiah will come as the Antichrist, and you will worship him. You will believe he is the Messiah. I'm speaking about those of you who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight, you will be here during these terrible times. Eventually, you might have something like a computer chip put in your forehead with the numbers on it. 666, the number of the beast. And things will go on nicely for some days. But then there'll be Ebola-like diseases. And natural disasters will be increasing. And the fear and fear will increase. And if you happen to survive 7 years of troubles after the Lord Jesus comes, and if you happen to survive, then you will be taken and you will be put up on trial. And you will be stand before Jesus Christ as your judge. Jesus Christ. He's the one you are rejecting tonight. He's the one you rejected last week. He's the one you've been rejecting all along. The Lord Jesus, the one who loves you. In Matthew chapter 7, maybe we could look at that in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21, starting at verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You will continue to do your own will. Will you? Will you continue to do your own will? Or will you do the will of the Father? Right now you have an opportunity to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. And what does He want from you? He wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be saved tonight. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works." And you could say, "Lord, Lord, in your name I went to Sunday school. In your name I learned the Bible verses. I have Christian parents. I obeyed my mom. God, please, God, let me into heaven." And verse 23, "And then Jesus will say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And then back in our chapter in Matthew 25, we have a very similar verse. Matthew 25, verse 12. "And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Jesus might say to you, "Why do you want to come to heaven? I don't know who you are. There's nothing for you in heaven. You rejected me when you were on earth as your Lord and Savior. Why do you want me now?" There is no second chance for you. The Lord Jesus won't give you a second chance. Because you rejected His love. You rejected His salvation. And you were damned to a lost eternity in the fires of hell. And you have lost your opportunity. You might say, "Yeah, but God is a God of love. He won't put me into hell." Well, think about it. If you really think that God is such a God of love, why don't you accept His offer of love right now? John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world." That's you. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. To die, to be punished for your sins, to be your substitute. And that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God, if you believe that He took the punishment for your sins, if you believe and put your trust in Him, you will not perish. You will not be put into the fires of hell. You will have everlasting life. You will be given eternal life. You will have the Spirit of God. You will have the oil for your lamp. Jesus does love you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. And that is why He died. It's so He could give you His gift of love, eternal life. Jesus, He has done everything He possibly could so that you can come to Him. So that you can go to be with Him in heaven. He loves you. He wants you He died to redeem you. And as the Lord Jesus hanged there on the cross after he died, a soldier with a spear came and shoved it into his side. And immediately there came out the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which can cleanse you from all your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is proof that Jesus died. It's proof of how much Jesus loves you. It's proof of how much God loves you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, the five foolish virgins, they were good people, just like you. But they failed to give glory to God. They did not believe, and they are going to hell, just like you. Unless you come to Jesus tonight. Matthew 25 again, verse 13. Watch therefore. You need to be careful. You need to be careful because you don't have much time. Jesus is coming soon. He says in Revelation, says, surely I come quickly. He can come any time from now. So he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so you need to be ready. You need to be ready for when the Lord Jesus comes. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but right now. If you put it off tomorrow, you have no guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let's sing number 22. Sing the first verse in the chorus. The heavenly bridegroom soon. Let no man doubt. Alas for those whose lamps are out, they'll find no oil to buy. Who ready are shown? Saved forevermore, their God shall ceaselessly adore in bliss beyond the sky. O sinner, if anyone wants to be saved tonight, before it's too late, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, please come and talk to me after the meeting. I'll be just around here.